You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt podcast here from William Hill. International weekend coming up and a bumper team on the podcast for this weekend's internationals. Dave Kellner here in the studio, Alex Dunn alongside me. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Dave.
We've got Derek McGovern on the line. Derek, welcome along.
Thank you, lads. Greetings.
Not a regular on the international scene, Mr. McGovern. Good to have you with us.
Yes, yeah. Well, you've seen international football recently. You'll understand why. I tend to give it a wide berth. I'm also tending to give winners a wide berth at the moment, sadly.
Well, you used up all that knowledge was used up last year, Derek, I think.
Yes. Well,
last season you went on a tear-up.
The season is in its infancy. Plenty of time to recoup losses.
We'll also have David Donaldson providing his Scottish view, our Scottish football expert. We've got Brian Smith. We like to call Brian Smith Desmond Funk because that's his Twitter handle. He'll look at Northern Ireland. They're in action away at the Faroes. And we'll have Alan Moore, our Irish football expert in Russia, on the Republic of Ireland's match away from home against Gibraltar. And we've got Robbie Savage with us very shortly. He'll take a quick cursory glance at Cyprus versus Wales. And that's where we'll start, chaps. This evening's kickoff, Cyprus versus Wales, 7:45 p.m. Cyprus in the market at 7-2, the draw 5-2, and Wales 4-5. I'll do one of the headline offers here, but not the other one. I'll just steer clear of the Cyprus headline offer. Gareth Bale to score and Wales to win is a 3-1 shot. Just before we hear from Robbie, Derek, if you're going to back Wales at 4-5, why wouldn't you back Gareth Bale to score and Wales to win at 3-1? They've scored 8 goals so far in the qualification rounds and Bale's got 5 of them.
A very good question, and I don't have an answer, mainly because there isn't one. That is the bet you would have. You don't back Wales at 4-5 away from home. They've done fantastically well. Top of Group B. Look as though they're going to qualify. But it's not an easy fixture, Cyprus away. They're an improving side too. And Wales will see that they only need 4 points from the next 4 games, I think it is, to qualify. Basically what they don't want to do is go losing this game. If they pick up a point, they'll be made up. And I suspect that's exactly what they'll do. They'll go for the draw. I mean, they're above England in the world rankings, Wales, now. I mean, you know, is that in the male voice choir rankings? I mean, how did that happen? I mean, they've got Gareth Bale, and so that's the reason. But Northern Ireland had George Best, and they never ever got above the Turks and Caicos, did they? I mean, how has this happened? Is Bale that good? To go above England in the world rankings, the biggest Welsh surprise since Ryan Giggs turned up for a friendly. I can't believe how it's happened. But is that how good Wales are or how bad England are? I don't know.
I think the second one, I was just about to mention that. I think that's a sad indictment of the England football team
at
the moment.
They're above Spain as well, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know how it worked out. It's one of those things that you just go, are Wales the 9th best team in the world? No chance.
No chance.
But as Derek said, they've been in good form. You know, I've got every chance of qualifying here, but that 4-5 is not a good price on them away from home.
No, they've lost a couple of times in Cyprus, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and a few injuries as well. James Chester's a doubt, Joe Allen's out. Players who have, I wouldn't say been instrumental so far in their campaign, but are, you know, cogs in their side. And the Bale bet is the only one that you can really fancy. It's a good price, I've got to say, 3-1 for
it.
If Wales are going to win, he'll score.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what I'm saying. So it's a decent jump. Wales and under 2.5 as well, 21-10. Not bad. I think it'll be pretty tight. Whatever happens, maybe a 1-0 or a 2-0. That's what you've got going for you there. But I think don't back the 4-5 at all. But the 3-1 makes certain appeal.
Yeah, it does. 3-1 Gareth Bale to score and Wales to win. I'd like to hear from Robbie Savage on this one.
Wales and the last 6 games against Cyprus, they've won 4 at home, but the 2 games they've lost have come in Cyprus. Never got a good record there, but I just think times have changed, momentum's changed. Gareth Bale, 2 goals in the first game for Real Madrid. Ramsey playing well. Big miss will be Joe Allen. I worry about the centre-forward position, but Chris Coleman's got his tactics spot on in this group campaign. I think we're going to go to Cyprus and win. You've got a great bet. Gareth Bale to score any time. in a Wales narrow victory. I don't think it's going to be 3 or 4. I think it could be 1 or 2-0 with Gareth Bale to get a goal in a Wales victory.
Robbie, actually looking at the headline offer there then, Gareth Bale to score and Wales to win at 3-1. Derek, you're going for the draw here?
Avoiding defeat is going to be uppermost in Coleman's mind. If he gets a point here, he'll be made up.
Superb. And Mr. Dunn?
I'll take the headline offer.
The headline offer?
Just, yeah. It's simple as. It's a good price.
Next up then, let's have a look at Gibraltar versus the Republic of Ireland. Gibraltar 28-1, the draw 14-1, the Republic in the market at 1-50. And the headline offer here, Robbie Keane to score a hat-trick and the Republic of Ireland to win is in the market at 4-1. Delighted to welcome our Irish correspondent Alan Moore onto the line now. First of all, a warm welcome, Alan.
Thank you very much, and I need all the warm welcomes I can get because winter has started in Moscow.
What's the temperature there?
It's a balmy 13, and I'm outside in a shirt. However, it's going to get worse. This weekend they're expecting 12 degrees and rain. So, yeah, as I said, winter has started. The last time we spoke, winter was in full swing, and that was May, I believe. So winter's back again in September.
Ireland have got a bit of work to do in this group, sitting fourth behind Poland, Germany and Scotland on 9 points. This is a comfortable trip against Gibraltar, though. 1-50 they are to win the game. And the reverse fixture back in October 2014, Ireland won 7-0. Robbie Keane scored a hat-trick in 18 minutes on that occasion. 4-1 for him to get a hat-trick here and the Republic to win. Is that appealing? It should be straightforward for the Republic.
Yeah, I can't see Gibraltar really lasting too long in this game. Ireland did a great job in scoring early and keeping it ticking over, and I think we're 7 up within an hour or 60-odd minutes. So Robbie Keane to score a hat-trick, I'd love to see him do it. And I do think that he's going to score at some time in the game. And he should start because he is our most dangerous striker against a team like this, because he will rattle them, he'll chase down defenders. So a hat-trick, yeah, I'd go for it. And I'd definitely look for Ireland to win by, you know, at least, you know, 3-4 goals.
Republic of Ireland to win 3-0 is 7-1. Republic of Ireland to win 4-0. In the market at 6-1. They've only lost one competitive fixture under Martin O'Neill, the Republic. Alan, are you happy with the way this campaign has progressed? I mean, there is work to do to catch Scotland, and the likelihood of them qualifying for the championships is pretty slim.
Martin O'Neill came in to take over, as you know, from Giovanni Trapattoni. He's done a good job so far. Expectations have been fairly unrealistic, and there's been a lot of negativity in the Irish media, as we discussed before. However, me personally, I think he's done a good job with the resources he has. He's up against a really resurgent Scotland under Gordon Strachan, who have been, you know, right, you know, people can talk down to other teams in the group all they want, like Poland and so on, but, you know, Ireland are up against it. I still believe that Ireland will catch Scotland and finish in third. However, you know, I could be just a bit of a dreamer in that, but I do think that Ireland can improve and, you know, get enough points by the end of the campaign to go into third place.
Now let's bring Derek McGovern in here. Gibraltar versus the Republic of Ireland, obviously plain sailing for the Republic this one. It's a matter of how many, isn't it?
Well, yeah, three of the matches have finished 7-0 to the opponents. I'm talking Gibraltar here, not the Republic.
thank God.
I much preferred the Republic of Ireland when it was called ERA, because the whole country sounded like a mistake then. It just had a nicer ring to it.
Well, there are other names. When I played hurling up in Northern Ireland, we were called the Free State, which kind of went out of... you know, it wasn't our name for a long, long time. So ERA, yeah, I could live with that. I like ERA.
I think the only problem is that they're not taking Gibraltar lightly enough. I mean, there's no... it's a question of how far Ireland will win. And as I say, 3-7-0 defeats for Gibraltar in this qualifying campaign. The only snag is you ain't going to get rich because Republic minus 3 goals. You know, so you've got to win by a 4-goal margin for you to cop. That is only 1-3. Now, that's not the kind of bet I would want to have. That really, the only snag is I can't find a bet I want to have in this game. What do you do? I mean, it's a gimme 3 points for the Irish. Both teams to score, which it will be because Gibraltar ain't going to score. That's 2-9, so there's no value there either. I really don't know what to say on this one. I've got a sneaking feeling Ireland will go there. Just get the job done, a 2-0 win or something like that, and shut up shop. So I'm going to go for unders, under 3.5 goals in this game.
Okay, under 3.5 goals.
I'd actually recommend to go over 3.5. However, that does look a very good bet, under or 3.5. And we do have to remember that it's 20 years ago, well, I can't say summer now, but 20 years ago that Ireland, as I say, drew with the mountaintop in Liechtenstein. And that was a pretty decent Irish team under Jack Charlton as well. So going to Portugal to take on a rock, you know? So I think, you know, there is a bit of a worry there. But again, I think, yes, Ireland would just go, you know, score early, keep a nice tight defence and just get out of there with a win. That's the main thing.
I remember what kind of trouble Peg you got into with Rock of Gibraltar as well. So, you know,
The Irish and Gibraltar and Rocks just don't go together. So, yeah, it could be trouble, you know.
Alex, what are your opinions on this match?
Similar thoughts. Ireland away from home, and they just don't do it for me. And I'm not saying that they're going to lose this by any means. That, you know, they will win. But Gibraltar plus 4 is 15-8. I think Ireland would settle for, you know, a 3-0 would do them. I think we've only got those handicap markets at the minute on the website, which is minus 3 Republic or plus 4 Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Gibraltar plus 5 would make appeal if that comes up at a slightly shorter price. But from what we've got at the minute, I'd be willing to take a chance on Gibraltar plus 4 at 15-8. It ties in with what Derek was saying about under 3.5 being a player. Gibraltar aren't going to register, so you're basically backing how many goals Ireland will score. 15-8 is a big enough price as far as I'm concerned to take Gibraltar to just last it out a little bit. Ireland away from home, not the force that they are at home.
Gibraltar plus 4 goals, 15-8. Just before Alan leaves us as well, as he's referenced already, Alan, an Irishman living in Russia, following Russia and Ukraine as well, and they're in action on Saturday. Russia taking on Sweden, Alan. Russia in the market at 6-5, the draw 2-1, and Sweden 13-5. Thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'm really baffled by the long odds on Sweden, like comparatively speaking. As I think most people know, we have a new Russian football president here. He was elected unopposed yesterday. He's also Minister for Sport, and he was from Zenit St. Petersburg, and he was Minister for Sport, previously head of the Russian Football Federation, and he's kind of pulling things around. So there's a bit of hope in Russian football. However, even though he's unveiled a new big money sponsor just this morning, like one day in the job, I don't see Russia doing it. I just, you know, they've got the new head coach with Slutsky, but he has his work cut out for him. You know, he's brought in a 34-year-old debutant to go in defence, Kuzmin, who's actually a decent player. I'd look at a draw. I'd look at a draw on it because Sweden, they're a good side. They have, actually it's funny because Pontus Wernbloom from Sweden plays his football here with CSKA. And of course, Slutsky is still the head coach of CSKA, so he's doing a double job. And Slutsky was joking yesterday saying, oh, we have a secret plan to deal with Wernbloom. So whether he like slips him a few rubles under the counter, we don't know, but I doubt it. You know, a few barrels of oil maybe. But I'd look at a draw. I Ibrahimovic, yeah, he's a great player. But Russia just, you know, a draw would suit both sides, really. Yeah.
2-1 the draw there. And Ukraine, they're 2-5 to beat Belarus, who are 8-1 in the draw at 100-30. So Ukraine, pretty short price here.
Yeah, I mean, and undeservedly so. Belarus, I mean, for all the good that, say, Baty Borisov do and have done, and the quality of players that are in Belarus, you know, they just make no sense. And Ukraine, I mean, let's be honest, Ukraine, the fact that most of their players are home-based and the country's in an ethnic state of war, they're doing well to stay in the hunt for a qualification, and they should be fairly handy winners. I'd say at least 2 goals.
Superb. Ukraine 2-5 to win that match. Alan, pleasure chatting to you as always, and we'll catch up soon, hopefully, later on in the campaign.
Thanks. Well, hopefully it won't be with snow up to my knees. That's the main thing.
That is the main thing. Stay warm.
Thanks,
out there, Alan.
I'll try. Thanks a million.
Thanks again to Alan Moore for his preview of the Republic of Ireland away at Gibraltar. And remember, do check out his website, championart.com. He runs that website, so check that out. And next up, we are looking at Scotland's game. They're in action against Georgia away from home, Georgia versus Scotland. And David Donaldson, our Scottish football correspondent, is on the line now. First of all, good morning to you, Davey.
Yeah, good morning.
Looking forward to this this game, Georgia versus Scotland. It's a must win for Scotland. They're even money to win at Georgia. The draw is 2-1. Georgia in the market at 7-2. If they've got any pretensions to qualify for the Euros, David, this is obviously vital, chasing down Poland and Germany at the top of Group D.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's without question, Scotland have to win this game if they've got any hopes of reaching France next year. You know, struggled against Georgia in the past, though, of course. They lost 2-0 there in 2007, which is one that many Scottish fans will try and blot out of their memory. But yeah, if Scotland want to get to the finals next year and keep the pressure on Germany and Poland above them in the table, then, you know, they have to win this game. It's that simple.
And a lot of people will be looking ahead to the action at Hampden Park on Monday, Davey. If they can pull off this result against Georgia, that will be some atmosphere.
It certainly will. It's a sellout to Hampden Park. I'm going myself, and certainly if Scotland can take something against Georgia going into that game with Germany, certainly home advantage, the Hampden crowd behind Scotland, who knows? Obviously it's going to be tough against the world champions in that one, but certainly gives them some hope if they can get a result against Georgia. And I have to say that I think Scotland will get a result against Georgia. I think Scotland have enough in the squad just to go out there and maybe carve out something like a 1-0 win.
If you're looking at the goal scorers, Chris Martin and Lee Griffiths and Stephen Fletcher, 5-1 co-favourites of 3 in that first goal scorer market here with William Hill. Stephen Naismith, 11-2. Johnny Russell and Sean Maloney, both 13-2. Matt Ritchie is 15-2 and 9-1 bar. You mentioned maybe a 1-0 win. Scotland to win 1-0 is 9-2.
Yeah.
Who do you think will start up front for Scotland on Friday?
That is a tricky question. I think Naismith's a shoo-in to start up front because he holds the ball up so well for Scotland. So I think he's definitely going to start for Scotland up front, especially in this sort of game. However, I think the question remains who's going to be up there sort of round about him. I don't think it'll be alongside him. I don't think Scotland play that way anymore. They obviously just play with the one up front. So it's a question of who's going to be sort of just behind him. And my thoughts on that are Lee Griffiths. I think he might be given the nod. He's been banging form for Celtic, scoring goals left, right and centre, and I think he might just get a surprise shock first start for against Georgia.
5-1 Lee Griffiths to score first in this game. Let's bring Derek in. Derek, Georgia 7-2, the draw 2-1, Scotland even money. Davey going with a narrow Scottish victory away from home. What's your thought process here?
Well, Georgia haven't won a game at home. They only beat Gibraltar 3-0. Everyone was pacing them 7-0. So even at 7-2, I couldn't have Georgia on my mind. I think I think Scotland are evens at a decent price here. I mean, Gordon Strachan's done a fabulous job with them. I mean, every time I look at Scotland, I don't know whether Strachan is the manager or the mascot, but he's definitely done all kinds for them. I mean, they're as revitalised as Wales are. He's still handicapped by the rule that says he can only pick Scottish players. But you'll have to say, I cannot see anything but a Scottish win here. David's right, you can't fart around looking for draws here. You know, they've got to keep the pressure on the two teams above them. They've still got an outside chance of qualifying. And a decent win here will give them a bit of an impetus for the big game on Monday. I think Scotland at evens is a fantastic bet. I really do.
David, Derek knows his stuff as well, so hopefully Scotland at even money can triumph. Alex?
Yeah, I agree with what David was saying about Scotland 1-0 at 9-2. I think it's the most likely result. But I've got to say, as a value play, over 2.5 goals at 7-4 is really big. It's rare that you'll see it that big.
Yeah.
And I agree that it's unlikely, you know, but it's too big for me to ignore. An early goal in this game blows it wide open. And Scotland have shown on the break that they can be fairly dangerous. I agree, it's more likely that unders will land, but not at 2-5. 7-4 for over 2.5, I think, is a good bet. And off the back of that, you know, you've got even money about Scotland. Scotland and both teams to score is 9-2. That's OK. It's not fantastic. But Scotland to win and over 2.5 goals is 11-4. They're big prices. But for me, over 2.5 as a price play is one of the best bets of the weekend at 7-4. Purely as a value bet, you're not asking for much. 7-4 is really big.
Good stuff. Over 2.5 goals, 7-4 is Alex's bet here. David, it is crucial if they're to qualify to beat Georgia. And you must be looking forward to that that Monday night trip immensely.
I can't wait. I'm going to the game myself and really looking forward to it. And it's not every day the world champions roll into town. So, yeah, I cannot wait to see that game. I think it's going to be a good match. Obviously, Scotland gave them quite a decent run for their money in Dortmund in the opening game. So they were just shaded in the end by Germany. So, yeah, I mean, it's certainly a good chance for Scotland. But first and foremost, they need to concentrate on beating Georgia. And that's something I think they will do. I don't think there'll be a lot in it, though.
David, superb. Always a pleasure chatting to you on these podcasts. And we'll catch up soon. Next up, we're going to have a look at the Faroe Islands versus Northern Ireland. 7:45 p.m. kickoff on Friday night. And the Faroes 5-1. The draw is 12-5. Northern Ireland in the market at 4-6. Johan Simon Edmundsen to score and the Faroe Islands to win is 14-1. Kyle Lafferty to score and Northern Ireland to win in the market at 3-1. There is a doubt, though, about Kyle Lafferty's fitness for Friday night's match, so do bear that in mind when placing your bets on this one. Unfortunately, we've not been able to get hold of Brian Smith from the Red Army podcast, so you're stuck with Derek McGovern and Alex Dunn for this one. Derek, there's a tendency to see the Faroe Islands on the coupon and think this should be an absolute walkover for any opposition that's facing them, but they're an improving nation now, and they only went down narrowly to the two that are vying with Northern Ireland for qualification in this group. Only went down narrowly against Hungary. And they're not as bad as people think.
No, they're not. It's Faroe Islands against Northern Ireland. It's the big island derby, isn't it? And the winners play Fantasy Island, I've heard. It's such a big splash. Northern Ireland are unbelievably well. I mean, there's a school of thought that says all the home nations are going to qualify for France, which would be absolutely incredible. I think one or two of them have still got a bit to do. But you can't be back in Northern Ireland, they're odds on away from home, can you? The Faroe Islands have won two matches in Group F, which is quite staggering until you realise that both of those wins came against Greece, who are now such a laughingstock, they've been renamed Greece 2. That's how bad they are. I'll have to say, I look at these prices and I can't back Northern Ireland at 4-6. I've never ever backed Faroe Islands and I never will. But when they get a goal start, the 23-20, and if you look at the defeats they've had, they've only lost one of their six matches by more than one goal. I think that was against Finland 3-1 they lost. All the other ones have been the narrow 1-0 defeats, and of course they've got those two victories. And we always know Northern Ireland away from home are not a team unless they're playing somebody like Germany or Portugal. They go and win, and wreck about a million coupons. Whenever they play away from home against a team that you think they should win, they never do. So I'm going to go for the Faroes with a goal start at 23-20.
I can see that, Alex. Faroe Islands plus one at 23-20. As I referenced, those two narrow defeats came against Hungary, the other, of course, against the Group F table toppers, Romania. I can see a potential upset here, actually.
Possibly. It's one of those things, that, as Derek was saying, you see 4-6 Northern Ireland and warning lights should be going off in your head. Do not back this. This is one of those games that if you were write down rules of betting, Northern Ireland, odds on away from home, don't touch it. No matter how enticing it looks, you can't back them at 4-6. They may go and win, but let them at 4-6 because it just isn't worth it. I mean, as you said, Faroe Islands, they're still not very good, but they are improving and they're not as bad as some people make them out to be. Yes, they've beaten Greece twice, but let's not forget Greece were in the World Cup. I know they're a completely different side and they are awful, but Faroes are still beating them. Interestingly, Edmondson, the headline offer, where did he play as a kid, Dave Kellner?
I've got absolutely no idea.
Newcastle United.
Did he really?
Not through the academy, but he was in the academy for a bit. But he's not very good. He really isn't.
That's why he was playing for Newcastle.
That's rude, Dave. We'll have none of that, thank you. The 4-6 of Northern Ireland, as tempting as it is, leave it alone, and back both teams to score no and under 2.5 goals at 3-4. It will be tight, whatever happens. I can't see both teams scoring. I think we're probably looking at a 1-0 either way. But both teams to score and under 2.5 goals, 3-4 would be the play for me.
Yeah, no, both teams to score and under 2.5 goals, 3-4 the play. Let's finish with the Saturday 5 p.m. kickoff, San Marino versus England. San Marino 50-1, the draw 20-1, England 1-100. Headline offers, we've got a lot of specials that revolve around Wayne Rooney here. Wayne Rooney to score a hat-trick is 5-2. Wayne Rooney to break Bobby Charlton's long-standing record as top England goal scorer, 8-11. He's currently on 48 goals, Rooney, and Bobby Charlton, of course, got 49. England to win by 7 or more goals is 2-1. San Marino to score at any time is 8-1. Derek, Jonjo Shelvey and Jamie Vardy included in this squad. I was speaking to Robbie about this on Tuesday, and he was saying they should give those players a chance. I think completely the opposite, in all honesty, because it's not like they're two young players that might you want to give experience for future international tournaments. Vardy and Shelvey are exposed, aren't they? If they were racehorses, they're not hiding anything from the handicapper.
Certainly true of Vardy. I'm not sure about Shelvey. I think he's got potential. He could develop into a classic winning colt. Plenty of mileage still to come from him. But I take your point. I mean, this is the worst England squad I have ever seen. It really is. I mean, half of them have been out on loan at some stage of their careers. The other half, the only reason the other half weren't is that nobody wanted them. I mean, you know, they're playing San Marino here, and you could play you, me, and Alex in the team, and we'd probably get 3 points. But the funny thing is about this game, they've got something in common, San Marino and England, because San Marino, if you look at it on a map, it's surrounded by Italy, just as England were at the World Cup last year. They've got about 25 adults to choose from. 26 if the keeper can get someone to mind his goats. So what on earth are they doing playing in this? England should wipe the floor with them, and that's appropriate because there's some four floor wipers in the San Marino squad. I've got to say that England. I mean, Roy Hodgson is not a mug, and he knows that in matches like this, the first task is to silence the home crowd, and the most effective way to do that is to confiscate their bells. This is not it.
This is grossly unfair to those San Marino men and women.
Why have we got an absence of Premier League football for, you know, Gibraltar versus the Republic of Ireland, San Marino versus England?
It's nonsense,
tedious,
isn't it, really?
It's tedious, yeah. Hodgson will instruct his players to go out tonight, on Saturday, to go all out for the draw. But England will win, and they'll win well. And I'm looking at England -4 on the handicap, because it's just, you know, there's no other way to bet.
England -4 is 1-2, England -5 is even money. Incidentally, Derek, do you think Rooney will start, and do you think he'll break the record?
Well, 49 goals Bobby Charlton got. I can't see him scoring that many in this game. He will. He'll break the record.
You think he'll do it?
Yeah, he'll play, and he's got the bit between his teeth now. The stick he was getting club level, and then the hat-trick he got in the European game. He's still not at his best, and I doubt whether he'll ever return to his best. But below his best, he's still good enough to take care of San Marino. So, yeah, it's a given. I think he'll get the 2 goals he needs to set a new record.
8-11 is to break the record on Saturday, Alex.
It's hard to find a market, really, for this. You know, you think in England, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, but depending on how many you think. I mean, -4, as we said, 1-2, but then -5 at even money, you look at the jump there and go, ooh, tempting.
Yeah.
But then you do need a 6-0 win, no matter who you're playing. Once you get to 4, surely mentally you'd switch off a little bit and maybe don't push as hard. But in terms of the player markets, it's difficult to find anyone to score at any time that's massively appealing. Rooney any time is 1-5. A lot depends on who starts this game. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain, perhaps if he's maybe as part of a front three at 4-6, is okay. I can see him causing some problems. But otherwise, you mean you're looking at centre-backs maybe for value. But, you know, Cahill, Jagielka, Smalling, 15-8 to score any time. It's not for me. So the only market that I could confidently put up is the one I've already touched on, the Rooney record breaker special. He's on 48, Charlton's on 49. To overtake him, so it's basically to score two or more, is 8-11. I think he'll definitely get one. And I'm happy to take 8-11 about him getting another one as well. I mean, plenty of specials there. They will appeal to some people. Maybe not Sam Marino to score any time. That will appeal to nobody. But 8-11, Rooney 2 or more, as it effectively is, that'll do for me in this one.
And you mentioned that minus 4, Derek, at 1-2. It is a short price. So it's odds on at 1-2, but it's not that short. You look at, they've played them five times, San Marino. They've won 6-0, 7-1, 5-0, 8-0 and 5-0. So that's happened the last five meetings between the two sides. So you'd think that minus 4 would land at 1-2.
Yeah, the only reservation you have of it is that it's, you know, the England teams that beat them in those by those scorelines are a hell of a lot better than the England team that will face them on Saturday night. But even so, yeah, it should come.
What I would say is England have never scored in the opening 10 minutes of a game against San Marino. Now, whether that's to continue, we don't know. But I'd imagine either close to the time or when the market goes live, if you want to bet in play, there's 5-minute markets and 10-minute markets and things like that. Maybe just wait till the 10th minute and then back a goal between the 10th and 20th minute, or if you can choose when the first goal will be between the 10th and 20th. Yeah. I think you'll get a fair price on that. People will be expecting them to come out and absolutely annihilate them from the beginning. And as we've seen, they don't do that. They will win, and they'll probably be 2 or 3 up by half-time. But for me, if we can find a market for that near the time, that would be something to look at anyway.
Derek, on international weekends, we don't have a nap, or it doesn't count to your running total, which currently stands at 0, Derek, doesn't it?
Is it 0? I thought it'd be minus 4. I'm happy that it's 0.
Not with Lee Phelps's way of working things out. You're always on 0. What would your best bet be this weekend? Would you have one?
I think it's Friday night, or is it Thursday night? I can't remember now. I think it's Thursday night. Iceland will give Holland a much tougher time than the odds the odds imply. And I think I've backed Iceland already with a goal start. They're 9-1 to win, I think, the game outright. But I think they'll, with a goal start, I think there's something like 6-4.
Yeah.
So I think I'll be having a double at that.
Superb. Just looking at these markets, Iceland plus 1 is 11-5. Iceland plus 2 is 8-11. So play Iceland just to get beat by the one goal at 8-11, which appeals. Alex?
Purely as a price play, it's got to be Georgia-Scotland over 2.5. I can't have that at 7-4. I agree. It's not the most likely to land, but at that price, I think you've got to have at least an interest in it.
Have you been enjoying the transfer window as well, Derek? I can imagine your screen's been on Sky Sports News throughout the last couple of days.
No, it hasn't. I mean, I'm with those managers who say it should stop the moment the football season starts. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. You can't concentrate on the football season until it's over, can you? Because, you know, teams could strengthen massively. As it happens, they haven't this time around. But, you know, it could happen. And any of your pre-season bets then look stupid. Mm. So for the benefit of punters, if nothing else, close it when the season starts.
And we know it's all about the punters in this business, don't we,
Of course, they're the only ones that matter.
Derek, thank you for your company.
Cheers, lads.
Mr. Dunn, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to everyone that was on the podcast as well. Thank you to David Donaldson. I think he prefers being called David. So David Donaldson for his preview of the Scotland game, and Alan Moore for his look at the Ukraine and Russia game, and, of course, Republic of Ireland's trip to Gibraltar, and Robbie Savage, his quick word on the action against Wales as well. Next time, we'll be looking at the Premier League football. We'll speak again very soon, folks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.